John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Always a joy to bring the message of the gospel to you wherever you may be today. May the Lord minister to your heart. And we're turning to John chapter 14, another promise from the Lord Jesus himself. Christians feed on promises, and by faith we claim them as our own. Everything written in the Bible is for our learning and for our faith. And I trust that you will claim this promise today where the Lord says, I will send you another Comforter. I will not leave you alone. This is precious. This is really the inner joy of the Christian, that the Lord is with us at all times, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts and ministering to us. And in that way, the Christian can have a song even in the jail. The Christian can have a song in the midst of the trials and troubles of this life. And I hope that even these times when we go through this wretched pandemic, that the Lord will draw near and minister to you, that you will be able to open your Bible, meditate on those words, even these words in John chapter 14,
and that you will find them an encouragement and a peace to your soul. Faith feeds on the promises, the words of the Lord. And I do pray that you will be encouraged as you listen in to the message here today on the Holy Spirit promised to every born-again believer. Of course, it's also promised to the unbeliever if you will repent and turn away from this world and sin. You also will know the indwelling of the Lord in your heart, because that's really what the sinner's prayer is. Lord, come into my heart. I hope that will be your prayer today, and that the God of heaven will minister to your heart as we let the Bible speak.
Prayer, and for this opportunity to call upon our Lord Jesus. Oh God, bless us for Jesus' sake tonight as we come into your word. We thank thee for one at thy right hand who intercedes, and his precious blood speaks for us on our behalf. And now we pray your help and power and your blessing upon this service and every aspect of it to the good of each and every soul. In the Savior's great name we ask. Amen. Our promise tonight is in John 14 and verse 16. We have these precious words of the Lord Jesus. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Very often it takes a crisis to jolt people into fuller action and into a fuller experience of God's blessing. I think that has been really the crux of Jonathan's testimony to us this evening, that it takes something to get you out of your comfort zone, or as Al would say, get us out of our boat and put us into a place where we can't lean on the old things. We have to really, truly, and fully rest on the Lord. Little trees, when the storm comes, get bigger roots because they're shaken and the ground around it is loosened, and those roots go deeper. And when the Lord shakes us up, we end up with bigger roots as well. Now, the shock that came to these disciples was that he was going away. The Lord announced to his disciples that he was no longer going to be in their midst. He was going to return to his Father. If you look at verse 12, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, as we say here in Canada, these disciples really hit the fan when they got that news. That shook them up when they got the news of the Lord's departure. And no doubt, after all, that they became disciples and followers of Christ, having left their businesses, their families, their everything behind, I'm sure that they were consternated about the future. And it would have been unimaginable for them of life without the Lord in the midst when he would be gone from them. How would they live? How would they serve? How would they follow through on their discipleship? And a whole new arrangement was to take place. You'll see in verse 13 that the Lord said, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So they were going to have to begin a new ministry of prayer. They were going to pray as they never prayed before, because the Lord would not be in their midst. They would sort of just watch him take over, take the leadership, preach, teach, answer the critics, raise the dead, heal the sick, do all those marvelous things. They were just following along. But now their leader would be gone. They would be pushed into the forefront. How would it go? And for this, the Lord gave them a wonderful promise. The promise of another Comforter. Now, I want to pause there and say that the Lord to his disciples was a Comforter. And the Greek word is paraklete. It means one who comes alongside. You call the person alongside. Just as when you're in your home and maybe your two hands are full and you need someone to open a door, open a cupboard to help you out, and you just call someone alongside to help. Well, the Lord said to these disciples, I'm going to give you another comforter. Now, we can identify that comforter from the scriptures, from the Bible here in verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So there is absolutely no question, no doubt about the matter, that the Lord was going to give them the Holy Spirit in a new and wonderful way. So the Lord was going to depart to heaven. He was going to begin his advocacy in prayer. The Lord would be the advocate in heaven. He would pray to the Father, and he would ask on behalf of the disciples that they would have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to them. And the Lord said in verse 18, this is very interesting down here, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. Now, interestingly, that word comfortless is a totally different word. It is the word orphanos, means I will not leave you as orphan, without parents, without a leader. In other words, you'll not be on your own. You won't have to make all the decisions yourself. You will not need to depend on your own strength and your own power. I will send the Holy Spirit to you to equip you, and you will enjoy the power and the ministry of another comforter who would do what the Lord Jesus did for them, their teacher, their guide, their strength, and give them all they needed to serve God. Now, this applies in three senses as apostles, because some of these disciples, indeed all of them, had the capability of doing miracles, and they would raise the dead. They would, as they did in Pentecost, speak in tongues and preach the gospel in evangelism to others with a mighty miracle that was granted to them. And through the days of the apostles, they could do miracles. They had the powers of revelation. They would fulfill the New Testament and give the New Testament scriptures. The church is built upon Jesus Christ, the prophets, and the apostles, Ephesians 2:22. So this promise certainly was for the apostolic ministry of the disciples. But it's also true for all the preachers of the New Testament, because those who were not apostles also preached with marvelous power, saw many converts, churches planted and started, and the work of the gospel go forward. It's also true, a promise for every believer, because every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is given to us in two functions. One, to indwell us. And the moment that you're regenerated, born again, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. But also there is the personal infilling of the Holy Spirit, who enables and gives us strengths which are beyond us, and for that we must constantly pray. And as I quoted this morning, this promise is the most marvelous of all gifts, all promises to God's people. Because the Lord said, if ye then, ye fathers on earth, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so there is a sense, I have the Holy Spirit, but I am to pray and ask for the constant operation of the Holy Spirit within my heart and within my life. And for that, I must humbly come to the Lord, plead the advocacy of Christ, pray the Father that he gives to me, and each of us should pray this, that we have that living grace of the Spirit of God acting, working, empowering, and enabling us to serve him. And every new morning we arise, we need to pray that God will afresh give us the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And so as we come to this promise, we want to see what the Holy Spirit does for us. Firstly, Christ promised that the Comforter would come alongside to minister in his place. Wouldn't it be absolutely marvelous if the Son of God, as he was on earth, came into this meeting now? If Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, whom we love and serve, was to come and take a seat right here beside us in his physical form with a body, and if he was to take over this meeting or to stand alongside and give all the help and the guidance, the words and the unction and the joy in our hearts, what a meeting we would have. And we would go home and we would tell our families and our friends, we met the Lord. The Lord came into the meeting and wonderfully blessed our souls this evening. Well, the Lord has done something which, in a sense, is even greater, because the Holy Spirit is not limited to one place. He can be in this meeting, and as we broadcast this service by webcast, the Lord, by his Spirit, can be in Victoria, Prince George, wherever people may be tuning in, and in any place in the world, the Holy Spirit is given. And for that reason, the Lord Jesus had to go back to his Father, and he gave the promise of another Comforter to come alongside. And so this ministry of the Holy Spirit should be equally exciting to us, equally personal and powerful. Now you'll notice in verse 17 that he is described or given the title, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth. And we are here tonight with our open Bible. You and I are interested in truth. When I prepared for this meeting, I was coming to the Bible, seeking God's Word, wanting to understand it, comprehend it, try and lay it out how I can present it and preach the truth. And you have come with your Bible to hear the message and to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit himself is the Spirit of Truth. And he works by the Scriptures, and he gives us not only objective truth, but the witness within our hearts that it is the truth. That's something I can't do for you. Now, I can say, I can point to the Bible, and I can give you book, chapter, and verse, and say, there it is, there's the English words of it, here's what they mean, and I might dig a little deeper and say in the Greek language it has a slightly more fuller meaning. I might give you all of the grammar and the technical terms, but it is the Holy Spirit that comes and takes that word and drives it and witnesses right within your own heart. And the Spirit of God gives us discernment to know the truth and enables us to reject the false. I know Christians who have never been in a Bible school. In fact, they wouldn't have a lot of education, but they know their Bible and they are Spirit-taught. And if someone was to stand in this pulpit and preach the wrong thing, they could identify it just like that. That's not right. They may not know how to counter it. They may not know where they went wrong, but that's not accurate. That's not right. Because that Christian is a Spirit-taught Christian. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives that gift. Spiritual understanding. That's a marvelous ministry. And you think of the Lord Jesus, the 3 years that he taught his disciples, he gave them to understand. Their hearts were burning within them as the men on the road to Emmaus, their hearts were burning. As he opened to them the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit does the same thing in us. And so the ministry of the Spirit, he gives a heartwarming teaching. It's heartwarming. It stirs the heart. It resonates in the heart. And you know, when you have been to meetings and places of ministry, and that just touched your heart, that just thrilled your soul, that just brought you closer to God, that gave you a desire to pray and to go on with God. And then there's other times, just didn't do anything. The Holy Spirit is heartwarming. The Holy Spirit is also heart humbling. You know that you are taught by the Spirit when it humbles you, when it drives you to your knees, knowledge puffeth up, the Apostle Paul said, but not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He causes us to be like John the Baptist. We read of that this morning, and he's famous for that statement that Christ must increase, but I must decrease. And when you are made to feel your smallness, your weakness, your dependence upon the Lord, that is Holy Spirit ministry, working graciously, tenderly, but bringing you to the place where you feel, as Paul said it, the least of all saints. Humility is a very different, difficult thing to define. The person who is proud is always thinking about himself. The person who's humble forgets himself, doesn't even think to promote himself or herself. Humility is a great gift, and it is one of the most outstanding Christian virtues. It's one of the mightiest marks of conversion and growth in grace to be made humble, gentle, meek. And that is the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that is a sure test. Look at chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit's ministry humbles us, warms us, but glorifies the Lord Jesus. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. When you are in a ministry that the Lord Jesus is exalted, honored, glorified, and made real to you, really, truly personal, that is the sweet influence and work of the Holy Spirit, another comforter. And just as the Lord drew near to his disciples, especially to John, what a friendship, what a warmth of spirit there was between them, and it was a transforming relationship. And the gospel is to be a transforming work within our hearts. And for all of this, of course, we are made wonderfully thankful. And I commend Jonathan for that aspect of his testimony tonight. There was a thankfulness for what the Lord has done for him. And he recognizes that this is a gift from God. And it is that spirit of thankfulness and of giving the Lord the praise. And so tonight we must say this is a tremendous gift. The Lord has given us the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I have known that, I have experienced that, and my heart cries out for more of that. That is a tremendous, a marvelous blessing to have another comforter.
For the first time, that the gospel really is God coming to live in the soul of man. And that was stupendous. That thrilled my heart. And it's true. Since I have become a Christian, I have been able to testify of the Lord dwelling in me. And that is the greatest wonder of this world, that we in our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that He dwells in us. And so He satisfies, He sanctifies, and He does His wonderful work of grace in us, of course, by this union we have with the Lord Jesus. And we live in that union, we will die in that union, and we will be with the Lord for all eternity. Christianity, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, is so wonderful. And I beg of you to bow the knee, invite the Lord Jesus to be your personal Savior, even now. Just call upon the Lord to come into your heart, to dwell in you, to live in your soul, and to give you a heart to know Him, and He will hear that cry. He will save. All that come unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. So trust Him. Come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus right now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't be a procrastinator. Don't put it off to tomorrow, because God's promises are not for the future. They're for now. They're for you today. And as you come by faith, claiming the written promises of the Lord in His own word, He will save your soul, and He will become your Savior. And how marvelous it is to have the Lord dwelling in us. Now, if you realize how sinful you are, how wretched you are, how unacceptable to God you are by nature, you know that you need to be saved, and you need that reformation, that regenerating work of the Spirit of God in your heart to make you right for heaven. Pray today, Lord Jesus, save my soul. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.